Hello and welcome to episode 4 of Inside Song. And today on the show, our guests are the band Strangers With Guns. They're a three-piece band. And Jeff, the frontman, joins me today to talk about his songwriting, how he began to go ahead and basically start the album even before the band was formed. And he also talks about his own writing and vocal style and tells us about how he catches people's eye on stage, amongst several other things. And of course, we go through a few of the tunes from their debut album, Degenerative Art, as well. That's all coming up, so don't move a muscle. And remember, if you want to get in touch with me on the podcast, you can send me an email to insidesongpod@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter @InsideSongPod, and you can look up Inside Song Podcast on Facebook. And a reminder as well to check out the playlist on Spotify for the podcast. It's called Inside Song Podcast Featured Artists. You can follow that and share it and all that good stuff. Every time I put up a new episode, I'm adding 2 tracks from each artist onto that playlist. Now, I am back to work, so some normality has returned to my life, but that does mean, unfortunately, that I'll have less time to give to the podcast, so going forward, they might not be as regular as they have been. Well, not that they've been very regular, but you know what I mean. They've been about every 2 weeks, so that will probably be going to every 3 weeks to once a month going forward, because it is quite a lot of work into putting this together. So now that I'm back working, I'm just not going to have the same amount of time to give to it. But don't worry, I'm still going to be putting up the episodes, but just not as often. So let's jump straight to the interview today. I began by asking Jeff to tell me a bit about how the band got together.
Well, I met Renick, the drummer, in November 2018, and that was after about 3 years of trying to find the drummer. They're kind of you're a drummer yourself, actually.
I am, yeah, we're a rare breed. Well, I think with drummers is they tend to be in demand for some reason, so any drummer you'll meet, they're all in about 10 bands.
Yeah.
I'm not now, but that's what you find with drummers, and bass players as well seem to be another hard bunch to find.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know. I've always had trouble finding bass players. Again, they just seem to be busy.
Yeah, so I'm originally a bass player. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But, so I found Renick in November. And it's funny you should say about being in other bands, because this band, I think, had broken up like 4 days before that.
So you just struck at the right moment.
Yeah. No, that's the time. It is everything, I think, in music. Because the 4 years I'd be on Gumtree, like putting up an ad a couple of times a year. And I might jam with someone, but nothing ever really taken off. And then I met him and we kind of had chemistry straight away. And then our bass player, Ricky, like that was the other fella that was in the same band with him that broke up.
So you got 2 for the price of 1. Even better again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So and then they have that chemistry and history of playing together as well. So that all kind of helped.
Yeah. Well, it is, like you were saying there, it is it's really hard to find people in some ways, because you could be looking for a long time and it's to find the right, not so much the person, but more like the same tastes and ideas, and even just to be able to get on with them. It's a hard thing to find all those boxes getting ticked, I find, when you're trying to join a band or start one. So I suppose, was that the same, what you're saying to me there? You were meeting people, but it just, for various reasons, never really worked out?
Yeah, I seem to get a lot of, I remember I had a few practices with this Italian fella, but like Air Force practice was the first time he played drums in years. And then he was like, oh, I'm more into prog rock, but I like your stuff too. And if anyone ever says kind of something like that, they're not really going to hang around. They're kind of waiting until they find another band, and then he's in a band at the moment. It's a nice guy. I can't remember the name of the band, though, but we've played with them. But yeah, there's a few experiences like that. We'd meet someone and it wouldn't be like entirely the music that they like, but they'd be more into other stuff.
Yeah.
And that really lasts.
No, it doesn't. We've been down that road ourselves with people, and guitarists, and they come in and go, oh yeah, I'm into this, but you know, I'll, you know, I like your stuff. And you know, a couple of months in, it all comes through that they're just not arsed anymore because they're not in, you know, which is fair enough. They're, it's not their bag, you know. But then why waste people? Like, you know, I'm not a metal person, so I would never respond to an ad if someone's looking for a metal player, because I know I'm just not into it, you know, and I wouldn't waste their time. So I don't know why people do that. If you know what you're into, focus on that rather than coming along and wasting other people's time. But anyway, yeah, it's a sore point for me because we've been through many, like, many some people.
Because like, if you haven't been if you haven't played in a couple of years and you want to get out gigging, you'll kind of be like, maybe I can like this.
I'll force myself into it. So it seemed to happen pretty quick then after that, because the album's out since last August, isn't it?
Yeah, we kind of took off like as soon as we got together. Like, our first gig, I think, was 2 days after I met Ricky for the first time.
Wow.
That was just another one of those Fibber's Thursday kind of gigs.
Ah, yeah. But still, though, that's pretty good going.
Yeah, and then we went flat out for a while, and then eventually we recorded up in Michael Richards' place in Track Mix and Blanche's Sound, and there's a massive queue for that because the album was recorded a couple of months before we actually brought it out. But you know about yourself, like, you have to do all the PR and send the emails off and do all that kind of thing. And the album, we did an album launch in the Grand Social, so we had to wait for that day, you know.
So it would have been out even quicker, only for that. So obviously you weren't that long recording it then. Did you kind of do it live, or what way did you approach that?
Well, some of the albums recorded, like, when I couldn't find a band, I went out and just got a session drummer. So some of the songs recorded on it have been just reamped.
Okay.
But they're old recordings, like that Spaceman song would be from 2015 and Lies of Omission and things like that. But with our session drummer, who was Kieran O'Callaghan, who I think he was Paddy Casey's drummer. Now I think he's Mundy's drummer, but he's a good session drummer if anyone's looking. But he jumped in. He's on 8 of the tracks. And so we kind of had 8 on, and then we recorded 4 together at the end.
From listening through to the album, I didn't notice all these songs sound different or anything, so it all seemed to gel pretty well together. So when you were doing that, were the two lads, were they kind of bringing ideas to these four songs, or had you kind of a map for them to go, well, here's kind of what I'm going for, or how did that work?
Well, on the new stuff, you'll definitely hear a lot of all of us more in it, but on that, I kind of had like 8 of the songs were done already. And it's funny you say that it sounds fluid, because I think the drummer, the first time I used him was in 2015, and then I used him again in 2018. And like, the first time he played with like a lot more enthusiasm. And then the next time he showed up, like he did the tracks, but I don't know, he didn't have the same energy, I think. And then Rennick, our drummer now, is on 4 of them as well. So I was wondering if it sounds like 3 different drummers or something, but I guess if it's fluid, I'm kind of happy.
Yeah, I have to say I didn't notice, because you'd think something like that would be likely to stick out, but no, it all sounded pretty fluid to me. Like, your sound in general, to me anyway, it's a very kind of coming from an American sort of sound, like Stone Temple Pilots and elements of maybe the Smashing Pumpkins or early Nirvana. Would those be correct, or am I off the mark on that?
No, I think like they're all definitely people I've listened to. My influences are all over the place, so I'm not really sure. Like, I listen to a lot of Rollins Band and Ministry and Megadeth and stuff, but it's definitely a grungy type of thing that I think it's just your natural style. Like, whatever you write is
what comes out. Yeah. So how would you describe it to someone if they're asking you what kind of band you are? You'd say grunge, would you?
Oh yeah, but I hate the question,
because it's always a tricky one.
Yeah, but then you do need it, so people kind of know how to like it's kind of what makes people either check you out or not. Because a lot of times they'd be kind of saying metal, but I don't think it's metal. And then you say grunge, but grunge is really broad. Like, all those bands sound quite different. So I don't know. It's a tough one. I try to say dark, atmospheric, guitar-driven nonsense.
Moving on to that, you know, the songs, a lot of them are all like very riff driven. So I was wondering, when you write songs, is that where they come from? Do they come from this cool riff you'd come up with and you go, oh, I like that, and you'd write over it? Is that generally the way it would work, or would it be something else?
Yeah, that generally is. It's definitely a really riff-driven kind of band. Some of the songs, like, because I've been in other bands, so, like, the song Lies of Omission, I was kind of just, if I was in a band with Ian Brown, what song would I write for him? Okay. And that's how that song came about. Like, yeah. So you kind of try and think of, someone doing vocals, because I wasn't doing vocals at the time. And then, but a lot of them are just kind of happy accidents where you're just jamming, and then you stumble on something, and then you just try and build on it, really.
You kind of use the, I think it was the old Pixies format, you know, the quiet verse and the loud chorus, which Kurt Cobain took and ran with. And, you know, I really love that, especially when you have like a three piece. I love that when you just drop in to say the drums and bass for the verse and then bring the guitar in. And like your bass player, he's a lovely, crunchy sort of tone going on. I was wondering what pedals does he use or what does he do to get that sound?
He's going to be so happy that you said that.
Made his day.
Yeah, so many pedals. What's the one he always uses? Big Muff. That's one of them, isn't it? Yeah, Michael Richards is good at getting the bass tone as well. But yeah, there's definitely, he's got a massive pedal board. He's got more pedals than I do. I only use one pedal myself. So I couldn't even ask him. I should have texted him and asked him what he uses.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, I do find, because I'm not by any means a bass player as such, but I own a bass and I like to mess about with them. And I find if you're trying to get that sort of bit of crunch on it, but not, it's hard to get it right. It either goes too crazy or it's too weak. So I was like, oh, that's that. He really has it down on that one, on that record. I really like the bass sounds.
It's hard to get right live though sometimes with all the pedals, because like at our launch at one stage, it's like it overpowered everything and just the bass just died during one song.
His pedal board is so big, he sucked all the power out of everything else.
Something like that. Yeah, I don't know what was going on, but it was during Lawyers of Omission as well, so it was a complete bass line. So it was just me going over drums.
And I suppose then to look at some of the tracks, like I probably won't go through every one, but the ones that jump out to me, one of them is Lies of Omission. Maybe just tell me a bit about the song and how you wrote it and what it's about.
Yeah, it's the oldest one out of them all, actually. Like, that song's 10 years old or something. Yeah, I actually wrote that. It was the last song I wrote in the first band I started. And we were only kind of starting to work on it and mess around with it. Before our drummer in that band actually passed away, so that put an end to all that. So yeah, that was on the shelf for years. That song, yeah, it was kind of like what I was saying earlier. I wanted to just write like a dark, atmospheric, bass-driven song. So because I like wrote the bass on it, so I was just messing around trying to come up with something that was almost kind of dancey. It is very mid-90s kind of sounding as well, I think.
I really like that descending guitar line that you have that comes in kind of halfway through each verse on that song. I love that.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I kind of almost half ripped that off a Charlatan song.
Too tired to sleep, but I'm okay to drive. It seems like it's kind of like you're not taking yourselves too seriously, but is that correct, or how did that song come into being?
Yeah, that's 100% correct. So I'm a big Bauhaus Surfers fan, so there's a lot of that in their music. That song, that's kind of the last song we recorded. It was one that I wrote when we were together as a band. I think the song's kind of changed when I met the two of them, because I'm not good at technology, so... I wasn't able to really do tracks and hear I didn't have a drummer, so I'm trying to write tracks and I'm just imagining what the other parts sound like with my head. And so I was able to kind of jam them ones out, but that one was a bit of a mess when we were starting it, but then at the end they were all delighted with it. Those lyrics just came kind of naturally when I was playing the chorus. That's just what came into my head, too tired to sleep and I'm okay to drive.
And would that be from, I don't know, driving back for some gig down in the sticks somewhere, coming back, or is it just, where did it come from, or like, was it just something that came up to you from the chords, like you're saying?
Yeah, well, since the song's been around, I've been like, I hope that wasn't foreboding and didn't yeah. for me. Because I've had a few of those drives, like coming back from Limerick and all, where I'm just wrecked and like, God, no, we need to pull over, or else this song is going to...
It's going to come true.
Yeah. But it just came to me. It's kind of like that thing with Monkey King, where if you just have a riff that sounds like telling a story over, like a couple of the songs are like ridiculous stories. And yeah, that was one of them.
Driving through the closed off highway, I have not left second gear. I don't know who's beside me, or if they're even here. I feel my heavy eyelids, assured that they won't close. My passenger is panicking slightly, it's almost like something he knows.
Your kind of vocal style then, it's the sort of more spoken than sang, and I think to certain songs, when they're delivered that way, it gives them a kind of more darker element to them, I think anyway. How did you come up with that sort of style of doing the songs?
That was something that was forced onto me by the universe. I just can't sing, like, there's no two ways about it, but there's a lot of, like, I read a lot of other musicians' biographies and just, like, their interviews on a daily basis. And I remember Jerry Cantrell saying, you can kind of, like, just, you can't do it. Like, don't wait around for a singer. It's like, you can just go, like, obviously he has his solo albums and all. He's like, you can get something out, basically. And so I just tried to do it. Especially when I heard, like, Kanye West sing. And I was like, right, if people listen to this, they can listen to me talk.
Well, I really like it. I mean, like when I put the album on for the first time and the first track came on, I was like, all right, this is a bit different. And I was sort of thinking, well, it'll probably just be for this song and then it'll be probably quote unquote normal singing. But I like that it kind of continued through the album then. It wasn't just sort of a one song kind of thing. So I really liked it. Like I said, I thought it added to the songs and, you know, it's a bit different as well than some other stuff out there. To deliver the vocals in that more sort of spoken way than, you know, it's like singing a melody or whatever.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you say that because it's something I think about all the time and I draw up a couple of ads and all, even trying to find the right vocalist, but it would have to be like the perfect vocalist because the lads are happy enough, but once or twice I've got like feedback off people in the industry and like it gets a bit samey, you could do it a pair of lungs. That's why like since Ricky's been in, I have hit like Biggie, our bass player. He'd just be shouting during some parts of it, like a two-tour drive and all. But now I would like to be able to do more with it, but it does change even how you write the songs. Because that's why they're all riffy instead of chordy. I think if you're playing chords, you kind of, you have to sing over chords. But
Yeah, that's true. Actually, good point. Yeah, you definitely need to be singing if there were less kind of riff happening. And so when you're looking to do new stuff then, will you kind of be carrying on in that same manner, or will you be trying different approaches, or maybe getting Ricky to sing a bit more or shout a bit more?
Yeah, well, we have a new EP recorded, but we still need to tinker with it on the studios are all closed at the moment. Obviously, we're still going on as we are for now, but if somebody, like, nobody really responds to our ads when we're looking for vocalists, so I don't know, it's another personality in the band as well, and then. Do you know the way everyone comes with their own set of like that you can only work or practice certain hours and all that? I think that's why we're kind of staying as we are.
If you can do it with the less people, the better, in some ways, keeps things simpler and easier for people to get together, and any money that you do get, then you're only splitting it three ways instead of four or whatever. So I listened through the album, then I noticed that a few of the songs, about maybe three of the songs there, made reference to, you know, to do with driving or the road. Or was that something you were putting in on purpose, or did that just sort of come naturally or happen accidentally?
No, I never even thought about it. Like, I remember Renick saying, like, four of our songs are like about space, like, we all sound like stoners or something like that. But I read quite a lot of books, so I'm gonna have to read more to expand my imagination. I don't know, I keep going down the same kind of road and stuff. Yeah, I do reference that kind of stuff a lot. No, it was all pure accident, to be honest.
Monkey King, then, that you mentioned there already briefly, you had Mick Pyro from Republic of Loose doing the vocals on that. How did you get him on board and get him into the studio? How did that come about?
Yeah, that was gas. I actually messaged him because his Facebook isn't just Mick Pyro. Like, he's under an alias, which obviously won't give away on him. I messaged him on that before, asked him to do it, but he'd never seen it. And then one day I told him he was looking for a lend of a guitar. And I just posted him. I was like, you can have a lend with PRS if you want. And he just rang me straight away. He's like, yeah, nice one. can you come down and see me? And so we went down to Terranova Village to lend him it. But then I got like talking to him a few times after that. And then I sent him the track, and I just like, if you're interested in doing it or anything like that, like, I know, I love Republic of Loose, so I was like, I know, if this isn't your thing, like, I won't be insulted at all. Like, it's a bit of a mental song and all that. And he's like, no, I dig the whole stoner rock kind of thing. Yeah, I'll do it. So we had the studio booked. I think he was supposed to be there Friday at like 4, but he got there like Monday at 5.
Right.
Because he
a bit late.
Yeah, he had a string of gigs over the weekend and stuff like that. I didn't think he was coming. Like, we were actually starting to remaster everything. But we'd overbooked kind of the studio. Like, we had like 4 days for four songs, and we almost had it wrapped up in two. But we were still there, and then he just rings me and he's like, oh, what's the crack? You still up for that? I was like, yeah, I'll run down to you now. And then, he did it. He did about 5 takes because he hadn't really listened to the song, but he just kind of turned it on and nailed it. And I was delighted with it.
Yeah, it's brilliant and a nice thing to have, you know, someone like that on the album, because I suppose I was assuming that you knew him or something, not that you just sort of got in touch with him to lend him a guitar, but so it was cool that he came and done it.
Yeah, it was great. I love mixed music and Republic of Loose and all that, so it's like, if nothing else, and that's like the highlight of my music career.
Still, I know Republic of Loose are no longer together, isn't it? They're not together anymore, shouldn't it?
No, I think 2013 they finished or so, but he's doing his own solo shows. Like, I seen him in Whelan's there in December, and then yeah, he does a lot of them, like, residencies down. Like, he's in about 5 different bands. Like, he's in like this blues band, and then he's in Shoguns of Skank and all these kind of like bands where they do cover songs, but like they jam them out for about 20 minutes and stuff.
Okay.
So he's definitely keeps active. Like, I know he has a solo album, but he just hasn't released yet. The snippets of him on YouTube, but nothing really from him.
The lyrics in themselves, how did you come up with them? Because it's kind of like the classic old blues story, you know, but obviously with a bit of a twist on it. Where did the words for that come from?
I think a lot of time with lyrics, I kind of just go mental. Just because, I don't know, I find it hard to be, like, Lies of Omission, I guess, when I wrote that, I was being serious. But, and yeah, all these other songs, like Problem Is You, I suppose, is serious too. But a lot of the time, I just, like, I don't really take that much in life seriously, so I just kind of went all out. I don't even know how to describe it. I know I wanted to do a blues thing because the guitar line sounded kind of like, do you know those walking guitar lines where you just, like, tell a story over or something? So I wanted to do something like that, and I don't know. A lot of times it just comes to me without me really thinking about it, thankfully. It always happens in tandem with, actually, the playing. So I'm always, like, when I come up with the song, I'll come up with the melody at the same time. I never really come back to it and then try and get the melody. It's always just, I'll just start, like, talking in tandem with it, and they happen together. Even the main riff on that Monkey King song, that was kind of, I wasn't finding enough time to really play guitar. And so I came up with just this exercise where I was just using all my fingers. But then, as obviously I'm just doing the same kind of shape over and over again, I just start messing with a few variations of it. And then I felt like, oh, I'm onto something here. And then that's how I came up with the main riff for it. And then, the melodies always come to me quite easy, fortunately.
And then another one that jumped out to me on the album was Summer of Sam. What's that about?
Yeah, that's... I feel like I'm being a disappointment here. That's just more nonsense.
Well, it's good nonsense, so, you know, it doesn't matter.
First time I got my octave pedal, so I was just messing around with that. That's what the intro is. It's just me standing on it and messing around, and I was like, oh, I'm getting some interesting sounds out of this.
Yeah, I like that, the guitar sound on that, actually. Yeah, it's probably the first thing that jumped out to me on it. It just sounds massive, like, so. But the lyrics, again, are just sort of not about Ant in particular.
No, I kind of like it's like music as escapism, so I don't really try to, like, have a message or, like, I don't think I could ever write about, like a love song or anything like that. But, it is quite a lot of nonsense for the most part.
So you did say there earlier that you have an EP, and it's obviously been a bit held up with this whole corona thing. So how much work is left to do on that, and are the songs very different from the album?
I think that album was like as mainstream maybe as you might sound. Like all the songs are around 3-4 minutes. It's all very, they're all very basic in structure and all that. Well, I've had more time with the band now, so I think the songs are starting to get longer. There's more riffs in them, where that album's very verse, chorus. Now this has, like, a lot of just different parts. So I kind of like the idea of songs with, like, no choruses. I always think of the Doors song, Soft Parade, when I'm thinking of that. But I just kind of like it, where it just goes different part, different part, different part, different part, finish. I'm kind of chasing that with new songs.
Okay, so it sounds like the new songs will be a fair bit different than, structurally at least anyway, than what's on the album there.
Yeah, a few people say it kind of, that I've heard it say, like, it kind of starts where Two Tour of the Drive, because that was the last song we wrote, kind of finishes. So maybe it's in that kind of vein, because I was messing around with a lot of drop D tuning, where a lot of the albums in standard, so.
Okay. Well, we'll look forward to that coming out whenever it is. You don't have any dates in mind, do you? Or you're kind of just waiting to see what happens with the situation at the minute?
Well, we're even talking now about potentially just doing an album because of the delay. Because we have more tracks done now that just aren't recorded. So it's like, but I don't know. What are your thoughts on EPs versus album in 2020? Like,
it is a tricky one. I mean, I'll always have a soft spot for the album because I grew up listening to them, and I do still like to listen to music that way, put it on a track one and listen through. I'm not one for playlists or shuffling or any of that crack, but I think people like that are probably in the minority now. I think most people, if they like a song, they'll stick it in a playlist and that's it. So for myself, yeah, I'd love an album, but I think probably to be more social media savvy, let's say, about it, probably releasing tracks in smaller batches is probably a better way to go, but creatively it's probably not as good of a way to go, I don't think. But it's hard to know, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and I heard him. My girlfriend was telling me that Hayley Williams brought out an album, but she brought it out as three EPs and then pulled it all down and then put it out as an album. So okay. I don't know if that's a new model or there's people trying a lot of things at the moment to see what works.
You know, with that in mind then, given that you're such a guitar-driven band, what's your view on the state of guitar music in general and where do you think it'll go in future?
I think it's kind of woeful. Like, it's really on the... It's definitely not in the mainstream in any way prominent. I don't know what way it's going to go in the future. I've read about, like, but Gibson filed for bankruptcy, didn't they?
Yeah, I heard they were in a bit of bother, all right, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know, like, there's a good punk scene in Dublin. There's a lot of people playing guitar, but I don't know who was really playing expansive guitars. So that always seems to be, like, people playing really simple guitar or else people playing really overcomplicated guitar. There's not really a middle ground in guitar playing anymore, like, what it seemed to find.
You know, you hear this all the time about, you know, guitar music is dead. I mean, people have been saying that since probably the mid-90s, but if you're into whatever you're into, if you're into punk or into metal or whatever it is, you can definitely go out and see lots of bands playing. But I suppose, like you say, when it comes to the radio then or anything, it's just non-existent. Like, it just doesn't seem to transition over at all for whatever reason.
Well, I suppose, like, the Fontaines are flying, but I don't know. I don't listen to enough radio to know if they get played a lot or not. I just know I see them online quite a lot.
I was mad into radio, and I used to listen to a lot of radio. I listen to less of it now. Any radio I do listen to be probably talk radio, but of the bit of radio I do occasionally listen to, I've never heard them being played on Irish radio, I have to say. I think a lot of people in Ireland wouldn't know who they were if you said, do you know who Fontaines are? They seem to be doing better in outside of Ireland.
Yeah, well, the Americans seem to love them, all right.
Yeah. Is it an Irish thing? You know, because, you know, it's like the way people go on about U2. Irish people are all quick to point out how much they hate U2. Is it just because they're Irish or what's the crack? Is it something to do with that? I don't know.
A nation of big grudges.
Yeah, that's probably it. Do you think when, you know, when venues finally do reopen after all this corona stuff, do you think there'll be any more appreciation for live bands or will it just be back to business as usual or what way do you see that going yourself?
Oof. Well, I'm going to try make it to the first. The Wild Duck is the first pub I've heard that's having bands in again.
Okay. Because
they're talking about booking bands in August. So, and one of the lads are in another band, and they're playing an album launch, I think, with opening for Snubbed or something, in September in that place. So I might see how that goes because they said they'll be enforcing all the guidelines. So it'll be interesting to see how that is.
I wonder how that's going to work because I know one of the things that the Vintners Association were saying is like they wanted to reopen in June with the restaurants. And they were saying one of the things they would do was have no DJs or live bands. So I wonder how they're getting around that one. That'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, like we're still booked to play this Klang Festival on the 28th of September. So I don't know how much faith I have in that going ahead. I really hope it would be our biggest gig. So I hope it does. But I'm not taking anything for granted at the moment.
Where's that festival? I've not heard of that one before.
It's in the National Stadium, actually, which is only recently starting to be used for gigs again. Like, it's the only purpose-built boxing arena in the world. And I there was never gigs there that I can think of, but now it's starting to get used. It's just a one-day thing. I think there's going to be a few stalls there as well. But, that's on the 28th of September. I've been to boxing there a lot of times, so it'll be interesting to see what way the music will be set up.
Have you done many other festivals before this one?
It's not a way, like a lot of stuff can call themselves a festival, but is it really a festival?
Right, yeah.
We've been on a few things like that where you go down and you're like, there's like six bands playing. Is that a festival or is that just a show? Or we've been on a few things like that. Like,
for some reason, I find that, you know, you can get gigs, you know, in town or whatever, but for some reason, it seems to be harder to get festival gigs, or maybe it's just that nobody wants our band to play. I don't know, but you obviously haven't found that, have you? Or would you agree or disagree?
No, we tried to get onto... Have you played Fantastival?
No, we haven't done any festivals.
I know a lot of them are application process, but Fantastival were the ones that they kept us, like, telling us where we were in the selection process. They said we got to the final round, but no, we didn't make that one. But I just keep an eye out and keep applying. There's some websites that show you when festivals are open to applications, and then you just try to sell yourself your best.
I to be honest with you, I reckon with a lot of these things, it's and I'm not saying this, I'm not begrudgingly saying it just because I haven't got to do them, but I think it's who you know. And
support slots, you can see a lot of support slots and bands getting them, and you go, that's a pure connection there.
Yeah, I suppose it's such a small scene, like, that if people know each other, it's natural enough to happen. But, and especially as well, if you're kind of a guitar, straight ahead guitar band, I think the way it is now, there's obviously lots of different stuff going on, which is great. Obviously, you don't want everyone to be doing the same thing, but I think people that are doing these festivals now, they're trying to find something, you know, the new cool thing that's a bit different, you know, somebody playing an ironing board or something mental, and, you know, they're just straight away discounting the standard straight ahead guitar, bass and drums. They're just like, no, we need the kind of, you know, a bit more out there band or whatever. So,
well, that's why on stage I'm out there in the Hawaiian skirt.
okay, yeah, very good.
Just so people take a second look.
Well, and has that something you've done from the start when the band started?
The very first show I didn't do, but I brought it with me, but just because it was the first gig I'd done in years and I hadn't done any vocals, so it stayed in the bag. But I've been doing it since. It does get you a second look, and then a few people want pictures with you and stuff like that, so I guess it does that.
handy tip there. I may look into that. Well, although I'm a drummer, so it doesn't matter anyway. No one will be looking at me. I suppose we're probably drawn to the end of proceedings. For people listening, where can they get your music and what websites are you up on if people want to go and look us up?
We're up everywhere. We're on Spotify, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. The works. I think I've never used Apple Music, but I believe we're on it.
So there we go. Another one in the bag. Hopefully you enjoyed that. And thanks to Jeff for coming on and chatting to me. And remember, you can look them up on Spotify and Apple Music and all those places, Facebook and Twitter and all that as well. So do go and check them out, because they will have some new material coming in the near future. So that is another episode done and dusted. Remember, insidesongpod@gmail.com if you want to email me, and some of you have been doing that, so thank you for that. And be patient with me, I will get back to you and schedule people in. But like I was saying at the start, the podcast episodes will be posted a little bit less regularly now that I'm back in work. Also, Twitter, insidesongpod, insidesongpodcast on Facebook. I mean, everybody knows this now at this stage, hopefully. Anyway, thank you for listening. And we will return as soon as we possibly can with episode 5. Until then, take care and stay safe. Talk soon.